Hello, Northwoods family. Glad that you guys could join us this weekend. My name is Nathan.
And I'm Jason.
Yep. And we are just happy that you could be here with us. And we want to encourage you, since you're watching online, you've got the opportunity to join the chat and to talk with some other people who are here this weekend online. So jump in the chat, throw in your name, maybe where you're watching from, where you're joining us from, and just enjoy getting to know the other people that are with you.
The other thing you can do in that chat, there's also a request prayer. You can request prayer at any time. We've got trained people ready to pray with you about whatever you're going through in life right now. The other thing you can do is you can text the word new to the number on the screen right there, and that will get you connected with one of our pastors, and they can answer any questions you have about Northwoods, any of our campuses, anything that happens online, or it doesn't matter what location you're at.
Anything at all.
They can answer those. The other thing you can do is you can download the Northwoods app. And in that app, there's a connection card. That connection card will connect you to anybody on staff, really. And you can put in comments of like what God's doing in your life. You can put prayer requests in there as well. Or you can just say, hey, Jason, how's it going? Or you can say, hey, Nathan, love seeing you up there.
Great job on the intro there this weekend, right?
Yeah. You can put whatever you want to put in there. You can put that in there. So.
Yep. I think that's all that we had for them today.
Yeah.
But we do want to let you know, we're starting off worship a little bit different, a little more chill. And so instead of kind of ramping you up, telling you to turn up your speakers, stand up, all that, we're going to just kind of slow it down. Okay, yeah, take it down a few notches. And I just want to pray before we kick off into worship. So would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that we can come right into your presence with boldness because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now into this time of worship that you would come, reveal Jesus to us, and that you'd touch our hearts afresh. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Hey, good morning, Northwoods family. Let's go ahead and stand together. We're so glad that you decided to worship with us this morning, whether you're here in person or online. We just want to say welcome. We're so excited that you are here today. And I'm sure by now you've noticed that there's something different here on the platform, and it's okay, it's intentional. We decided to switch things up a little bit on the musical portion of things. Now this morning, you sitting out there in the auditorium, you tuning in online, you're going to be the featured choir this morning. That's right. You're going to sing at the top of your lungs. You're going to worship the Lord like this is your last Sunday here on this earth. So with that said, I hope that this morning, walking in, coming into this service, you did your vocal warm-ups, because we all know how important those are, right? Now, in all seriousness, though things are going to be a little bit more laid back this morning, we wanted to create an environment of an atmosphere where we're just gathered around the living room, around a piano, a couple of guitars, surrounded by family, with one common goal, one common purpose, and that being that together we're gonna worship, together we're gonna sing, together we're gonna lift high the name of Jesus, amen? Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, church, when we sing together, it's not just another thing that we check off our list. When we sing together, it's not just a warm-up for the next best thing that we've got lined up for you here in this service. It's way more than that. Congregational worship is meant to be encouraging and uplifting and empowering. It's meant to be a battle cry of hope for the lost and for the broken. Now, not only does the Lord command us through his word to sing and worship together, but when we do this together intentionally, when we sing together and when we worship together, the songs that we sing are lifelines that guide us back to the heart of God. The songs that we sing to ourselves are what tether us to God day by day. The songs that we sing over others are what proclaim his kingdom in a way that will impact their hearts. Now, I understand that this might be a little bit intimidating or a little bit out of our comfort zone. That's why I hear you. I get it. But we're still going to encourage you to press in and worship, because we're all in this together. We're all in this together. And lastly, I love the promise that God makes in Psalm 133. That where there is unity, he will command a blessing. So church, this morning, let's lift our hands together. And with one accord, with one voice, with one spirit, with one mind, with one heart, we're gonna sing together. We're gonna worship together. We're gonna lift high the name of God together. And right now, we're just going to invite the Spirit of the living God to come and do what only He can do. Lord, again, we invite You in this place. Holy Spirit, come and have Your way. In us, with us, and through us, Lord. You're welcome here. Come on, church, let's sing it out together. When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. Come on, lift your voice today. We sing. My fear doesn't
stand a chance when I'm standing in Your love.
Come on, lift your voice today, church.
Doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing,
yes,
Your
Lord.
Love.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in Your love. Shame no longer.
Shame no longer has a place to hide.
For I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind.
Oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken.
Come on, lift your voice. We sing.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love.
Come on, if you believe that, sing it out.
There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in Your name. Power in Your name.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
My fear
doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
Oh, my fear
doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love.
Oh, come on, let's declare it again. We sing.
'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love.
My fear
doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love.
My fear
doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love.
Oh, I'm standing. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, Lord.
you know this, sing it out.
Before the Lord. It talks about the peace that we sometimes, that many times we do not experience. And so right now, I got the sense this morning that maybe there's some of us who are listening this morning online. Maybe you're here and you have a lot of worries on your mind as you've come in this morning. You have no peace. And so right now in this moment, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to encourage you just to release your worries to the Lord. The Bible says to cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. Cast your anxiety on Him. And so just release that to the Lord right now, whatever that is. Maybe you're worried about something happening at your job. Maybe it's something that your child or one of your grown-up kids is going through at this moment that you've been praying for. Just release that to the Lord. Lord, we just release all of our cares, all of our worries to You. And we thank You, Lord, that we can have peace because we know You hold tomorrow. And right now, Holy Spirit, I think of the scripture that said Jesus, who was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would release Your joy in Your people right now. Would you just ask Him for that, church? If you need joy today, just say, Holy Spirit, release more of Your joy in my life. Another fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's also peace. Say, Holy Spirit, I release more of Your peace in my life today. We thank You for that. We trust You, Jesus. And we thank You that we have peace today because we know that You hold tomorrow. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's do it. God good, church. Give Him a hand. I know you love Him. Amen, amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. We're going to worship, continue to worship here again in just a moment. But if I haven't met you, my name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwoods. And if you're new with us, I want to say welcome on behalf of all of us here at Northwoods. And if you are new, we would love to connect with you. And so there's a number you'll see on the screen that says text new. You can text that word new to the number 833-550-1550. And someone from our team we'll reach out to you and see if there's just any questions or anything we can do to help you in your journey here at Northwoods. And for those of you who, you know, call Northwoods home, you've been here regularly, I have had people say this to me this morning, and I wanted to let you know that I recognize this. I do recognize that I'm wearing Chicago Bears colors, okay? You don't have to tell me. I know. I am not converting. That is not happening ever, all right? But you Bears fans, I want you to know this might be a good thing for you because sometimes you get some of that green and gold pumping through some of these colors. It might bring some life to some of those Chicago Bears, all right? So this might be actually a good thing for you. Now, listen, I joke with you guys. Got to get it in now. I feel like the prospects for Green Bay aren't looking good after this year, so I'm going to do it now while I still can, okay? All you Bears fans, you know I love you. Anyways, thanks so much for being here. And again, I'm excited about next week because next week we will be kicking off a brand new series called 10 Keys to the Life You've Always Wanted. It'll be a series on the Ten Commandments. That's a series that Pastor Cal put together. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but I kind of see this in our culture today. But in our culture today, I found that there is an 11th commandment. And the 11th commandment in our culture says this: be nice and the other 10 don't matter. Now, listen, I want you to know something. The Bible says to be nice, right? We're to be kind to one another. But the Bible also tells us that the Bible, we also find in God's word that the Ten Commandments are applicable to all people at all times and all places. And so we're going to talk about them over the next several weeks, starting next week. And again, I just believe there's some things that God wants to show us, some insight he wants to give us into how the Ten Commandments apply to our lives today. So that starts next week. Also, I want you to know in October, coming up October 15th through the 16th, we'll be hosting a two-day conference called Setting Captives Free. This is a conference we've had before that Pastor Cal leads. And the conference is really about practical training for breaking spiritual strongholds. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Sometimes in our journey here in life, in our walk with Jesus, you might have found that there are certain things, issues in our lives that are really hard to break free from. And so we might find that, man, I feel like I'm doing great, I'm following Jesus, but there's just this one thing that I continually fall back into. Could be anger, lust, pornography, whatever it is. The issue might be different for all of us. But generally we find it seems like whatever I do in this area, I can't seem to break free. If you've ever found yourself in a moment like that, it might be an indication that there is some deeper level freedom that needs to happen, that there might be a spiritual root to what is manifesting physically in your life. And so in this conference, you're going to learn how you can not only learn how to help yourself in that area, but also know how to help others know how to find deeper level freedom when it comes to spiritual oppression and spiritual and influence. So again, we're going to talk about that. That's October 15th and 16th. And again, you can sign up online. It's northwoods.church/captives. Also, we talk about the connection card a lot here at Northwoods. You can pull that up on your app and let us know you're here. On that app, as you let us know you're here, there's a box in there that says, I would like more info about, and there's a little box you can check for Setting Captives Free. So if you check that box in the Northwoods app, someone from our team will reach out to you and send you more information on that. It's $20. That's October 15th and 16th. Hope you'll join us for that. Also want to say again, just thank you for your continued generosity here at Northwoods. There's many different ways you can give here. You can give here in the building. There's black boxes in the back of the auditorium. Also, you can give online, northwoods.church/give. Many different ways to give online. But again, I always like to say it. It's our giving that helps fuel the growth of what God is doing through Northwoods in this community and all around the world. So thank you again for your continued giving. Now, in just a moment, the worship team is going to lead us another song. It's called Sufficient for Today. And as I've listened to this song and gone through and read the lyrics, it just so spoke to my heart. It reminded me of a time when my wife and I had our first child. I found that after the birth of our first child that I kept feeling myself just being very anxious. Anxious about what if my child gets sick? What if something happens to my child? What if I say something or do something when they're a child, and it just so impacts them that it just really messes them up down the road? They got this big wound because of what Dad said to me when I was 2 years old. Just so anxious about what if I do something wrong, and constantly living in the future. And God has had to teach me, still teaching me, that when we try to live in the future, it robs the day of peace. God doesn't call us to live out in the future. He calls us to live in the moment with him. I like to say God's presence is in the present. His peace is in the present, and he is sufficient for today. In this song, one of the lyrics says that your grace and your mercy, they go on forever. They're sufficient for today. And so as we sing this together, church, just let it be your reminder to your mind, to your heart, that my God is sufficient for today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's sufficient for today, and when I get there, he'll be sufficient for that day. And so whether you want to stand, whether you want to sit, however you want to worship, I just want to encourage you again as you sing, let it be a reminder to your heart that he is sufficient for today.
Trials will So, Father, we say thank you. We honor your name today. We thank you for the power of those lyrics. Whatever we're facing, stay in the moment with you. We'll find that your power and your grace is sufficient for today. We believe that. We receive that. We claim it. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hey, will you thank our choir here today? Guys, thank you. It's awesome. Thanks for leading us today. Yeah. Yeah, you can have a seat and just welcome everybody and welcome to our other campuses, our online family, as we come to the last part of this series on work called Made for Mondays. And today I want to talk about how to shine like a star in your workplace, even in spite of some of the challenges you may face at work. We had really thought about just talking about those challenges. I kind of wanted to go a little different direction, but that doesn't mean that we don't have challenges. We do. Think of some of you educators. You're faced today with what do I do when I'm teaching kids stuff that I know is simply not true. It is not according to God's word. I can't continue to do that. And some of us are probably going to have to walk away sometimes from jobs that we love, find different things to do because we're trying to honor the Lord. Those are the challenges. I mean, wouldn't it be great if our workplace was perfect? Anybody here with a perfect workplace? You go, yeah, I'm self-employed, you know, right? If we work for a perfect boss in the perfect job with perfect wages and benefits and always receive the perfect promotions and perks, and then to top it all off, if we work with a perfect team of people in a perfect conflict-free environment filled with nothing but perfect love, loyalty, and respect, wouldn't that make Mondays worth getting up for? Now, while I just described what it's like to work here at Northwoods, the rest of you aren't quite so lucky. You all face challenges at work. And of course, I'm kidding about the Northwoods part. Because while the curse of sin affected our work, making it more difficult, it also affected our hearts, making each of us more difficult to work with. And when you add all of that together in the workplace, it doesn't always make for the perfect setting. In fact, sometimes it can make for challenges that empty our workplaces of joy and turn them into a grind. You may work for a narcissistic, demanding, overbearing boss. You may feel the weight of unrealistic expectations in your job. You may feel trapped in an uninspiring job that makes little use of your gifts and offers no plan for promotion. Your wages and benefits may fall woefully short of adequate compensation for the work you do. You may work in a culture that is negative and demotivating. Or you may be maligned because you are a believer and your work regularly presents you with a clash of values between what you know God's word says and what you're being asked to do. Guys, any and all of these and more may be a part of the challenges you face at work. Recently, I was talking with a man who told me that he had ended up in a psych ward a few years ago due to the mental an emotional beatdown of his work environment, where rather than being celebrated for his work ethic, he was constantly castigated by others for what they quoted, making them look bad. Wasn't his intent. His only fault was that he was accustomed to accomplishing 8 hours of work on his 8-hour shift, which was like twice as much as those around him had been doing. You would think that the management would have come to his aid and supported him, but instead they promoted a culture that beat down the most productive among them and allowed the loafers and whiners to prevail. So the challenges of the workplace are with us to stay. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't do all we can to mitigate those challenges when it's within our power. Yes, we should confront unproductive attitudes and work ethics where we find them. Sometimes we may be forced to find a different job. But I go back to a line I shared a few years ago. While you may not always be able to work in your sweet spot, not just in your sweet spot at the job, but maybe your job isn't a real sweet spot. You may not be able to always work in your sweet spot. You can always work at making your spot sweet. And it's to this factor that I want to turn our attention today, because while I may or may not be able to do anything about the specific challenges of my workplace, those things may or may not, or they may lie outside of my control. On the other hand, I can always focus on making sure that I don't allow those challenges to shape me or the way I do my work. No matter how dark your workplace or the challenges you may be facing there, listen, you are called to shine. And so I find the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians 2:14-16 to be pertinent to our workplaces when he says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Look at this. In which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. You always wanted to be a star? God says that's who you are. Now shine like one. Shine like one in your workplace. Several years ago, an author by the name of Robert Kelly came out with a book entitled How to Be a Star at Work. In his research, he asked the question, what separates star performers from the average workers? Why do some people climb the ladder at work while others with equal talent go nowhere? What makes the difference? And in his book, he shares some of the secrets they discovered. But a very important discovery was that stars are made, not born. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are or how smart you are as compared to someone else you work with. The components that make a person a star can be learned. Which means that no matter what challenges you may be facing in your workplace, no one can keep you from becoming a star. Because as I mentioned, God already says that's who you are. You just need to decide you're going to shine like one in your workplace. And I want to help you do that today by giving you four foundational qualities to being a star in your workplace, no matter what you face there. I've put these in a little acrostic to help you remember, S-T-A-R, all right? So your note takers, get ready. Here's quality number one, the S, got to start here. I put it right at the top of the list, is self-initiative, or what I call self-motivation. People who really optimize their vocational potential and stand out at work are self-starters. They bring a high level of energy to the job day after day, and whether or not it's on their job description, they are always looking for ways to add value to the organization. No one has to tell them what to do. No one has to keep checking up on them to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. They regularly do more than they're required to do. In fact, it's amazing because I would have decided that this is number one on my list. And when I was reading that book, How to Be a Star at Work, guess what? It's like it ended up number one there as well. Self-motivation, self-initiative. And this gets at what God's word says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24. John mentioned this one a couple of weeks ago, is where the Bible calls believers to be with all your heart workers. That verse says, right within the context of doing your work, it says, whatever you do, whatever your job is, right? Be it butcher, baker, candlestick maker, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Boy, wouldn't that give my Monday a new perspective? I'm going out to serve you, Lord. And then it says within that context, don't just work with all your heart when the boss is watching. You do it regardless of who's watching because you know that your real boss, the Lord, is always watching and that's who you're serving. With all your heart workers, as I said, don't have to be told what to do. No one has to light a fire under them. They're not looking for how to take the most out while putting the least in. They just seize the initiative whenever and wherever they see that they can add value. They don't care whether anyone notices or not. But believe me, people notice. Just as the cream rises to the top, so people of initiative just have a way of rising to the top in organizational life. On the other hand, there are no shortage of workers who do only what's required of them, if that. They drag into work at the last minute, stretch the lunch hour as long as they can, waste time, head home at their earliest convenience, and do it all with an attitude that suggests they'd rather be anywhere else on planet Earth than in this prison, and then they whine and complain when someone else gets promoted. Don't let that be someone at Northwoods Community Church. Let's mark it down. No one will ever go very far without self-initiative. I always loved it as a pastor when I saw this quality in my staff. I loved it as a parent when I saw this quality in my kids, and I did everything I could to instill this in my kids. I don't know if my son John remembers, but I talked to him about this a few days ago. But when he was in seventh grade and had finished his basketball season near the middle of February and was planning on going out for track, I took him aside one day and I said, you know, Jonathan, I think you could really get a jump on the track season if you just start getting up early and going for a run before school. I said, the average kid will never think about getting up in the morning and running. But if you want to be the best you can be, it just takes that kind of self-initiative. Now, I never said another word to him. But the next morning, I sort of chuckled to myself when he set his alarm for 5 o'clock, got himself all bundled up because there was still snow on the ground, and went for a run. And he continued to do that up until track season began. Actually had a very good season. And Dad would even go out at that time. I was still running a bit. I would actually bundle up and go with him sometimes. But I wanted to instill in all my kids, if you'll take self-initiative into any job, it doesn't matter what the challenges are, you will shine like a star and likely rise to the top. All things being equal, self-initiative is the great separator. Somewhere, at some time, it will pay off. And you know the great thing about self-initiative? All of us can decide in one split second to be people of that kind of initiative. No one can keep us from it. There's no particular course you have to take or degree you have to get. It's just flat out a decision of your will. So let me ask you, how do you rate on self-initiative? Are you known for that quality? I want to tell you, as a believer, you should be, because that's part of shining like the star that God intends you to be in the workplace, and it really is up to you. That's the S, self-initiative. Now, we got to add some others to that. Here's the T, and that is trustworthiness. Trust is foundational to any relationship. In fact, a few years ago in a survey among 1,300 senior executives regarding a list of 16 traits for enhancing an executive's effectiveness, trustworthy character and integrity ranked number one. We want to know that we can trust the people we work for. And guess what the people we work for want to know? They want to know that they can trust the people who are working for them. It goes both ways. Bosses want to know about their employees. You're a person of truth. You're trustworthy to the core. Now listen, people will forgive occasional mistakes based on ability, especially if they can see that you're still growing as a person. But they won't trust someone who demonstrates major cracks in his or her character. And you can't cover them up for long if you're hiding. People will tolerate honest mistakes, but if you violate their trust, you will find it very difficult to ever regain their confidence. That's one reason you need to treat trust as your most precious asset. Give away trust, and you've got nothing left. In fact, I like to think of trust as something akin to change in your pocket. How many of you know it takes change to make change? When you prove yourself trustworthy, you get more change in your pocket. But when you demonstrate that you can't be trusted, that you have no integrity, you lose your change. And again, it takes change to make change. And maybe some of you here today have lost your change at work, or in your home, or in your marriage. And you wonder, can I ever get it back again? Well, depending on how badly you fractured the trust, you may not be able to get it all back, but you can at least make a gallant effort at trying. And guys, the key, where that all starts, is taking responsibility, acknowledging that you understand how you have broken the trust and what you did, acknowledging it, asking forgiveness, and without so much as putting it into word, just beginning to demonstrate, I'm going to do whatever it takes to build my character and build my integrity so that I can become a person that people trust. A number of years ago, a leader on the Dunlap football team, along with a number of other players, got kicked off the team for drinking. Seems like we had a number of years there. We finally make the playoffs. We get to play with our second team because most of the first team had been, you know, had to celebrate going to the playoffs by drinking or whatever, and then they get caught and they're out. A These guys got caught drinking, but they told the school administrators that they hadn't been drinking. They lied about it. It was on the front pages of the papers because the school was going to force the kids to take a lie detector test. And some parents were up in arms about that and were threatening to sue the school. I want to say to mom and dad, listen, if your kid's done the right thing, the lie detector test will prove it, will it not? Why would you want to defend even if it's your kid? I would tell my kids, take the test, because if you're telling the truth, it's going to prove it. If you're not, you got some explaining to do. So the administration went ahead with the test. Sure enough, none of the guys who said they hadn't been drinking were found to be lying, and they were dismissed from the team. I went to the leader of that team. It was a guy I knew. He had lied. I was bothered about something. And I, as I said, I got to know him. I had a lot of respect for him. So a few weeks after it had happened, I pulled him aside at the school one day, and I said, you know, I just need to ask you something. If you had played in that football game knowing that you had compromised your integrity by lying about the drinking thing, would you have felt good about that? He kind of hung his head, and he said, I don't know. I just wanted to play real bad. I said, I get it. But I said, I'm telling you this because you're a leader. And I respect you, and I think you have more in you. And I believe this can be a defining moment in your life. I said, you lied to your coach, you let your team and community down, you lied to the administrators, you lied to your teachers and parents. But what bothers me most is that I haven't seen anyone own up to his responsibility and ask forgiveness and acknowledge what they did. And I said, I think you're the guy who ought to take the lead in that. I think a whole lot of others would follow because you're a leader. So I said, if this resonates with you, I'm just sharing this as a friend. And so I explained it to him. It's like you had $50 worth of trust in your pocket and you made a $50 mistake when you went out drinking. At that point, you were broke. Then you made a $100 mistake by lying about it. Now you find yourself with a huge trust deficit. I said, if you will own up to it and acknowledge it and go back to all the people you let down and hurt and ask their forgiveness, you know what? A lot of those people will give you some of your money back. Some of them will give you all of your money back. No, maybe not all at once, but you'll get it back if you do the right thing and commit to living a life of integrity. I could see the light going on in his eyes. And as I shared this concept with him, I remember him just going, man, that's really good. I don't know what he ever did about it, but I'm just telling you, if you're going to be a star at work, don't give away your change for anything. It's a long road back. Maybe some of you already compromised. I'm telling you, the only way you get it back is if you'll acknowledge what you've done. Go to the people you've wounded. Say, I'm asking your forgiveness. I'm going to do everything I can to become a person of trust. Do what you say you'll do. Be a person of your word. Be a person of truth. Stand for God's truth at all costs. I know people may not always agree with your stance. They may criticize you for your stance. But they'll know you're a person of truth and that you're trustworthy. Got to have that if you're going to be a star. Self-initiative, trustworthiness, add to that the A. Here it is, quality number three, is an and then some attitude. An and then some attitude, an ATS attitude. You want to shine like a star, put more into your work than what's expected. Do what's expected and then some. It's a principle I learned a few years ago called the Rebecca Principle. It refers to giving maximum effort for minimum expectation. It's a great Bible story found in Genesis 24. Abraham is old. He wants to ensure that his son Isaac marries according to the custom God has laid out for them. They have been living in a foreign country for many years. And God has told Abraham not to select a wife for his son from among these people, but to return back to his home country to find a wife for Isaac. So Abraham calls his servant to himself in Genesis 24:4 and says, go back to my country and my relatives and get a son for my wife, Isaac. So the servant sets out, takes 10 of Abraham's camels with him and a lot of gifts for Abraham's relatives with whom Abraham has had no contact for many years. After several days of travel, the servant finally arrives back at Abraham's old town one evening. He stops at a well or a spring outside of town. The Bible says it was the time of evening, as the custom was in those days, that the women would go out to draw water. I guess the men stayed home to watch Monday Night Football. That's not in there, but it must have been something like that. This servant has no clue as to where to begin in his search for Isaac's wife, so he prays in Genesis 24, verses 13 and 14, Lord, I'm standing beside this spring, and the women of the town are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. Now, guys, hidden in this text is a clue that he was looking for a real star when we begin to understand what exactly was included in that request. The Bible says that before he had finished praying, a beautiful young lady by the name of Rebecca approached the well. He doesn't know at this point that she is actually a relative of Abraham's. She is the granddaughter of Abraham's brother Nahor. He hurries over to meet her and makes his request in verse 17. He says, please give me a little water from your jar. Immediately she lowered her jar. Likely she had it on her head. She lowered it. Look what she says. She gave him a drink, and then she said in verse 19, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. And the Bible says she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and went back and drew more water and drew enough for all his camels. Now, guys, I know for years I read over that passage, just blew through it, and said, man, that's great. You know, he prayed and God answered his prayer and just showed him the right woman. And probably most of you too have just read past that and have never stopped to think about what actually happened here in this passage that demonstrated Rebecca was star quality like none other. I mean, she gave maximum effort for minimum expectation. This was no small feat. Remember, there were 10 camels in the caravan. Does anyone care to guess how much water a camel will drink at the end of the day's journey? Anywhere from 20 to 30 gallons of water. So when Rebecca said, I'll draw water for your camels too, she was saying that she was going to draw a minimum of 200 gallons of water. And remember, in those days, they didn't have fire hydrants. She didn't say, hey, just run them over there to the hydrant and we'll open it up full bore, you know. No, to get that water, she had to go to the spring and fill her jar. What size jar did Rebecca have? She's a young lady, probably 14 or 15 years old. So let's say it's probably not more than a 5-gallon jar, because 5 gallons of water weighs about 43 pounds. That's a pretty good weight if you're carrying it around on your head. If she has a 5-gallon jar and she's going to draw 200 gallons of water, she's going to have to fill her jar 40 times. And if she's going to do that 40 times, it's going to take 4 times just to take care of one camel. Probably a minimum of 15 minutes per camel. Because remember, a lot of the other women were coming to the spring. Who knows but that she maybe had to wait in line once in a while before she could fill her jar and take it back. See? No question that it would have taken at least 2 to 3 hours of her time. But it's the best 2 or 3 hours she could have spent that night, because on this night, God said, you know what? I can't help but bless and then some attitude wherever I find it. If you're giving life more than you receive, if you're putting more into your work than you're taking out, guys, never worry about it. Someone, someplace will recognize it. If nothing else, God will recognize it, and sooner or later, He will reward you. Stars with this kind of attitude exemplify a sort of internal quality control mechanism. They don't just keep a list of values on their wall at work. Their values are encoded on their hearts and bleed through everything they do. I heard a speaker who travels quite extensively share about a particular situation in which he arrived at the airport rather late one night and needed to pick up a rental car. Making his way to the rental car area and locating the company with whom he would usually do business, the gal behind the service desk informed him that their company was out of cars. Now, I've traveled a lot. And I've been places where they didn't exactly have cars either. I've never had anybody do what this person did. She said, let me call one of our competitors to see if they have anything. And after making about a half dozen calls or so, she finally located a car for him. Of course, he was extremely grateful for her efforts on his behalf, which obviously weren't benefiting her company at that point. So he said, I really appreciate it. You didn't have to do that. And then she said this. Well, yes, I did. It may not be our company's policy. It's just a personal policy with me. I heard that and thought, there's a star. I want someone like that on my team any day of the week. Because what did she do? She served her company's customer even when her company wasn't prepared to. So even though it didn't benefit the company directly this time around, guess who that guy is going to travel with the next time around? And you carry around an internal value system like that, and you will shine like a star. You just take an and then some attitude to work with you. I'm telling you, you'll be a standout. Self-initiative, trustworthiness, and then some attitude. And you'll have quality number 4, a reputable name. That's the R, a reputable name. Take a great work ethic and godly character to work every day, and you will earn a good name and a great reputation. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. An old pastor said to me one day as I was just starting out in ministry, Cal, he said, always seek to please God. Just please God. He said, if you please God, you'll please the right people and the rest don't matter. Oh, yes, in this world, even when you do your best, you'll have your haters, your detractors, your opponents, your enemies, but don't let them determine your course. Don't pay them 2 cents worth of attention. By the way, I don't know if you saw that Northwood's got a little negative attention this week. Actually made it on the front page of Journal Star today. Boy, they must have had nothing else to write about. And so we've had a lot of haters about our just mentioning a few weeks ago about offering people who felt in good conscience that they needed a religious exemption so they could keep their job. That we'll sign the paper for you. Well, that got out there. And I'm just telling you, I'm not sure what the point was. And I do know there were a lot of haters writing about it. I only want to tell you, it's not going to make one iota difference in the way I continue to serve the Lord and try to please Him with mine. I just say to some of you, quit reading everything the social media trolls put out there to attack and disparage. Just keep working hard and being the person God called you to be. And listen to me, He will tip the scales in your favor if all you're trying to do is honor Him. Amen? Now, you all know I love Southern gospel music. And in our day, no one has done more to promote it through his videos, his radio and television programs, and even his own group than Bill Gaither. Can I see the hand if you at least have heard that name, Bill Gaither? Yeah, a lot of the hands going up. You know Bill Gaither. Those who don't, you're just telling me you're not Southern gospel fans. I'll pray for you, all right? I didn't know this story. I do know that sometimes as I've watched videos, he records in his studio in Alexandria, Indiana, not far from Indianapolis. And sometimes he's had people in his big backyard and they're sitting there videoing. I didn't know the story about that land until just this week. He wrote about it in a book 20 years ago, a book entitled I Almost Missed the Sunset, in which he recounted this amazing story. He said, Gloria and I had been married a couple of years. We were teaching school in Alexandria, Indiana, where I had grown up, and we wanted a piece of land where we could build a house. I noticed the parcels south of town were cattle grazed, and I learned it belonged to a 92-year-old retired banker named Mr. Yule. He owned a lot of land in the area, and word was he would sell none of it. He gave the same speech to everyone who inquired. I promised the farmers they could use it for their cattle. But Bill says, Gloria and I visited him at the bank one day. Although he was retired, he spent a couple of hours each morning in his office. And so when we sat down, he looked at us over the top of his bifocals. I introduced myself and told him we were interested in a piece of his land. He said pleasantly, not selling. I promised it to the farmers for grazing. Bill said, I know, but we teach school here and thought maybe you'd be interested in selling it to someone who's planning to settle in the area. Mr. Yule pursed his lips and stared at me and then asked, what did you say your name is? His response, Bill. Bill Gaither. Mr. Yule goes, Any relation to Grover Gaither? Bill says, yes, sir. He was my granddad. At that point, Mr. Yule put down his paper, removed his glasses, and said, interesting. Grover Gaither was the best worker I ever had on my farm. Full day's work for a day's pay, and so honest. What'd you say you wanted again? Bill says, I told him. He said, let me do some thinking on it, then come back and see me. Bill says, I came back within the week, and Mr. Yule told me he had the property appraised. Bill says, I held my breath. Then Mr. Yule said, how does $3,800 sound? Would that be okay? Bill was thinking, man, if that's per acre, I'm going to have to come up with nearly $60,000. And just for some perspective, that was the late 1960s and would be about $27,000 in today's money times 15 acres. He's going to have to come up with over $400,000. So Bill said, $3,800? Yep, 15 acres for $3,800. Only then did Bill realize he didn't want $3,800 per acre. He wanted $3,800 for 15 acres, And the land was worth far more than that. So Bill says, I readily accepted. And then he writes, nearly 3 decades later, as my son and I strolled that beautiful, lush property one afternoon, this property that had once been pasture land, I said, Benji, you've had this wonderful place to grow up all because of the good name of a great granddad you never met. I sat there just kind of in stunned silence and was just reminded. That's the favor God pours out on you and yours when you give him a reputable name that he can bless. It's not just what he does in your day, but someday there's going to be others going, that was your dad? That was your granddad? And the good name will make a way for you. Friend, through whatever vocational challenges you may be facing, no one can keep you from being a star in your workplace. And I remind you again today, that's why God placed you right where you are, because you shine like a star in a dark place. That's why he's put you there. So shine. Shine. If you'll pursue self-initiative, trustworthiness, and then some attitude and a reputable name, you will shine like a star in a dark place, and you'll make a difference for God in your workplace. You are made for Mondays. So what do you say? We get out there and we shine like the stars we are. Amen. Let's stand together for prayer, and I want to just bless you as you head back to your place of work tomorrow. Guys, I want you to understand something. You really need to understand this. Yes, I'm a pastor whose job happens to be leading Northwoods Community Church. I want you to understand that you are a pastor in your workplace. God calls you a priest. I don't get the opportunity to impact the people that you work with. A lot of them aren't ever going to come to Northwoods Community Church. Hopefully a lot of them do come to Jesus and maybe start coming. But I'm telling you what, if they do, it's probably going to be because someone like you pastored them well in the workplace. By the way you work, by the way you live, by the way you loved, by the way you cared. You're pastor. So shine in your workplace. Father, I bless your people today. And I thank you for your heart. For each one, where they work. Pastors in the workplace. May that be the perspective they take tomorrow. We thank you for Sundays like this where we have the opportunity to come up aside and let you pour into us again to worship and be reminded that you are more than sufficient for whatever we may be facing today and whatever we'll face tomorrow. We thank you for how you use your word to just stir us again, to plant your seed deep within us, Lord, that we may be people of your word. We thank you for what you do on Sunday, but we're reminded again that what you do on Sunday is so that we're refueled for Monday. And we've been made for Mondays. May we pastor well the people you place around us. By the way we live, the way we love, the way we work. May we be with all our heart workers, doing our work as unto you. God, shining like stars in a dark place, because that's not only who you say we are, that's who you've called us to be. And because of that, we can do it through the power of your Spirit. And we just give you all the thanks and all the praise for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, guys. Go shine, all right? Go shine this week. God bless you. Listen, if you need prayer for anything, come on down. Maybe you're facing some challenges. You need some people to stand with you. You come on down, and our prayer team will be here with you. Those of you watching online, thank you so much for joining us today, and I pray that God use this word in your life as well. Shine like the star you are wherever you go this week. Just ask the Holy Spirit to let his light come through you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week.
Come on, somebody. That was a great word. Great word from our senior pastor. And if you want to maybe share it with a friend, or if you want to catch up on it again during the week, go to our YouTube channel. We've got the message there. And it actually, I believe they put in like little fancy like markers to tell you, like, you can skip ahead and hear point one, point two, point three, right? Different sections of the message. Is pretty fancy. So hop on YouTube if you want to listen to it again or share it.
The other thing you can do is get registered for Setting Captives Free. And you may be thinking, what does it mean to be free? Well, look, we all struggle with sin, and we're forgiven. And then we have people that sin against us, and we forgive them, but we're not totally set free. We hold them in the basement of our heart. And Setting Captives Free teaches you how to release them from that basement and get you free, because that's who's really locked up. But it also teaches you how to help others receive that same freedom from the things that are just holding them back. So go online to northwoods.church. You can find out all the information you need to know about Setting Captives Free, and invite somebody, bring somebody with you to and just come and learn about being completely set free.
Right, and not only for yourself, but for others.
Yes,
right, like you're gonna get trained about how to bring others into the freedom Christ purchased for them. And our senior pastor always, like, he hosts that. He does all the teaching, it's fire. So if you haven't been a part of it, it is worth the drive, no matter where you gotta come from. We'd encourage you to get registered for that and meet us out here. And then hopefully, I hope that we will see you next weekend as we start a brand new series on the Ten Commandments, right? What's it called? Do you remember?
I believe it's called 10 Keys for Life.
10 Keys for Life, aka the Ten Commandments, lead to life, okay? So hope you come back for that series. Northwoods, we love you.
We'll see you next week.